Welcome to the Mindful Moments for Families and Schools podcast. This is Kelly Winkler, your host. If you are a parent or a teacher who would like to have a more peaceful, calm, and centered environment, then you are in the right place. In this podcast, we will learn to weave yoga and mindfulness into your daily routines to help both you and your children be able to regulate your emotions, feel connected, and be resilient. I'm excited to share these incredible tools with you, so let's get started. Welcome back to Mindful Moments for Families and Schools. This is Kelly. I'm thrilled today to have on Rachel Strivelli. Rachel is an intuitive coach, manifesting teacher, and writer. She helps ambitious people stop the inner critic and self-judgment to bring in more self-love and acceptance. A formal school teacher and garden educator, she believes that magic still exists in the world. She loves sharing ways in which the natural world can be a window into seeing the beauty, magic, and art that is your life. I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation with Rachel. We talk all about mindfulness and about using nature to help us to be mindful. And it's really a great conversation with lots of great tips. So let's dive in. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, I'm excited to be here, Kelly.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. I'm excited to have you. Why don't we start out by you telling us about your journey and how you have come to work in this wellness and mindfulness space?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So from a young age, I recognized that I needed wellness and mindfulness. And I grew up with health and also spiritual life, but we didn't necessarily talk a lot about wellness. But as a young person, teenager, and into my early 20s, I grappled with a lot of anxiety and depression, and over time, I would read books and go to counseling, and I started kind of accumulating, okay, here's what works for me, or here's how I can work with my own idiosyncrasies, my own sensitivities, and all that. And as I went further, so I became a public school teacher. And while I loved that, over time, I realized I wanted to work with people and in tapping into their potential in another way. And so that has led me to now I work with men and women who want to either address guilt or inner criticism, or who have a lot of comparison and imposter syndrome. So using mindfulness and positive self-talk and some other tools to create more self-love and self-acceptance, because I want every person to live a more joyful life where you feel like you get to show up as you and wholly you, not a compromised, crumpled up version of you that feels like you can only share 10% of yourself with the world.
Well, I love that mission. And it's intriguing. I also started out as a public school teacher.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And then after my break, I took a little break from education and had my children. And then as I was getting ready to go back to work, I felt that same pull. Like I always knew I wanted to still work with children and with families, but just in a different capacity, deeper than the academics of it. And so, yeah, so I found myself also in this space. How did you make that transition from the classroom to what you're doing now?
Yes. Well, and in a little bit, it sounds like it was similar to you. So some of it was because of when my children were born, but several times when I was younger, I left teaching. One time I was just burnt out and I felt that I needed a break and I really wanted to study the natural sciences because my undergrad was in literature and I'd been teaching English and social studies. And I felt that I wanted to either teach science or work in sustainable agriculture. So I went back to school and as a student, as a graduate student. And then after my degree, I worked in nonprofits for a while. And one of them, I ended up doing classroom education again. And I just, having had a few years break from the classroom, I realized, oh yes, I really am good at this and I really do love it. So I went back to the classroom as a science teacher and really did love it. But then when my children, when my first child was born, I initially thought I was just going to stay at home with her and be a homesteader and stay at home mom and get all crafty. And just to me, that was like the dream life. And my husband was working outside the home. But pretty quickly into it, I realized it wasn't stimulating enough for me. So I started teaching people organic gardening because my friends knew that I had many years of knowledge and a degree and all that in it. And for a little bit of time, I was doing that part-time and just thought that I would do that until my children were old enough. And then I'd go back to work in the classroom. And I just felt this inner calling to work with people and empower them and encourage them in their growth, not just people who like gardening, but in general. And even the past number of years, every few years, I'll think, should I go back to the classroom? But I just am not at that point right now. And I might go back one day. So I've gone back, like I said, a few times, but right now I love being able to work with people in the way where I feel most called to do and to not have the structure of the school system telling me, here's how we think you should do it. But what I see as like needs out in the world, and I can, you know, create an online course or write an article or, you know, come on a podcast and share in that way. So, because I feel like even though I still very much value public education, I think there's a need for many different types of education and empowerment and transformation out there.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And still, it's wonderful to see that you could, you know, follow that instinct. You're still taking that teaching piece with you, right? Your natural instinct to want to teach people, but just doing it from a different way. That's how I feel too. Just I'm coming at it from a different angle, from a different perspective. And, and you know, absolutely, like, education is so important, our public education and all of that. And then there's this other piece that's also important with our wellness and really, you know, focusing on things like mindset and all of that. So yeah, I think it's wonderful what you're doing. I know that you like to teach people to really be mindful about their physical environment. So can you talk to us about that and how that's so helpful for both adults and, if you know, for children as well?
Yes, I would love to. So similar with some of the other things I've been sharing, a lot of times in my life, things will start with a curiosity or interest, and then I just follow that wherever it goes. And so when I first started writing inspiring articles, hoping to create more happiness and self-love and self-care and all of that, I was doing research and because I love being outdoors, I was looking into, oh, okay, well, what are the ways in which maybe nature helps us cultivate? And I found that, well, there's a lot of research to say that it does, but even in little ways, like if you look at trees, whether it's an actual tree or a picture of a tree, you're going to feel happier. So, so first I started telling the folks on my email list, hey, if you don't have trees that you're seeing on a regular basis, put a picture of a tree on the background of your phone or the background of your computer. Like, let's start finding little ways to bring more nature into your life. And another fun little tidbit that I found was that when we use our peripheral vision, we actually, it's almost like as you open up your vision to beyond just looking straight in front of you, your mind and your emotions start to open up and you have more happiness and a more positive outlook when you tap into this peripheral vision. And, you know, most of our, the way our lives are structured right now, we're looking at a computer screen or, you know, students in school, they're physically in the classroom or at home, like they're looking at the screen, they're looking in front of the teacher, in front of the, you know, towards the classroom to the front of the teacher. And we're always kind of focused in one direction. And whereas if you step outside to your porch or your backyard or you go for a walk, because of the surroundings, there's naturally this invitation to start looking around you. And if you're walking through the woods, you might notice out of the corner of your eye, you see something move and then you look over and it's this little bird flitting around. Well, this activating and utilizing of our peripheral vision starts to also cultivate this mindset of, it's almost like there's more than one way to look at things. Like we have a more open and a broader mindset. And I love that because it's something that we can do very quickly. And tapping into more of this sensory way of being in the world, it can cultivate, like I said, more happiness, growth mindset, and a more openness of seeing more possibilities. It's shown to help cultivate more creativity. And Go ahead.
That it's fascinating. That and, is fascinating.
And I actually need to look if there's research to support this next thing I'm going to say. So all the things I've said so far are research supported. What I have found personally is that I feel that my intuition is even greater when I spend more time in the natural world. And I have this program or experience I created called Nourish Your Soul with Nature. And what I found was the people who go through it with me, and it's all about having a daily practice, sitting in nature and observing, is we start to cultivate more compassion for ourselves as we see the pace and the unfolding of the natural world. I feel like it almost reminds us everything doesn't have to show up tomorrow. Everything isn't like this fast-paced news cycle or media and comparison. And did you do this? And like, it lets us step out of the judgment and all of the words and noise of the world and start to just calm down to something that's a little bit slower paced. And I feel, I'm sure there's research too that says it helps calm our nervous system. One awesome thing about it that I love is as we spend more time out in nature, adults and children, we cultivate more emotional intelligence and more empathy. There's this documentary, I haven't watched it yet, I've only seen the preview. On Netflix called, I think it's called My Octopus Teacher. And what can tell, even from just watching the preview, is this documentary maker is sharing his transformation of having more empathy and presence from interacting with an octopus in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen a little portion of the beginning of it. Really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much to unpack to everything that you just said. I mean, it's like I said, it's fascinating. I want to go back a second to the peripheral vision.
Yeah.
You know, you always hear that saying, you know, don't have tunnel vision, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you just always think like that's just like a metaphor that we use or whatever you might call that, a saying. And but to know that there is actual research to show that actually physically using our peripheral vision makes us more open and happier. And I mean, that is so fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. It's I really, really actually, and exciting. Because yes. I mean, what a simple, simple thing for us to do for ourselves and to teach our children to do that. What a simple task. Just go outside and utilize your vision and notice things. And, you know, I mean, I teach that mindfulness piece about, you know, using our five senses to help regulate our nervous system. And, yes. and that's just like a fabulous, fine example, of like, extra benefit that we're going to get from using our sight and, you know, really tuning into it and really being mindful of it. That is, I love it. I love that so much.
Yes, me too. And one of the reasons I wanted to share it right away when we were talking is I'm thinking, you know, sometimes when we want to make a change in our lives, either our own life or our whole family's lives, some of the things seem like it's going to take a lot of work. Like, oh, I got to start meal planning and make all these things, or I got to plan that we're exercising every day for 30 minutes, or planning vacation, which can be fun, but is work. Like some of these things can sometimes
overwhelm us.
Yes. Right? Overwhelm us. Cause there's a lot to do to get to a place where we want to be. Yes. Whereas a simple little thing of stepping outside, taking a deep breath, and utilizing some of your peripheral vision, automatically you start getting into a different state. And the other thing I like about it, because I think physiologically what's happening is it's like it's switching our mind from like survival mode of I got to stay hyper focused on this one thing to just being able to absorb what's going around you. And you know, I probably should have brainstormed beforehand how to communicate this with your children, but you know, it's one of those things you can experiment with. So like next time you step outside with your kids, you might tell them, okay, let's see what we can see out of the corner of our eyes. You know, if you make it a game, that might be a fun way to help them activate it.
Yeah. I spy is a perfect, perfect game to do. I mean, I play this all the time with my kids anyway. I use it often with my 6-year-old because she has quite a bit of social anxiety, so she gets very nervous, especially on the way to go somewhere, to school or to a party or wherever where she's feeling anxious. So we do I spy a lot when we're in the car, because her activating her senses with looking for things and looking for colors and different things really helps to regulate her and to keep her steady as we're headed to somewhere where she's going to feel anxious. So I mean, I think that's like a perfect example of a way you can translate that to your kids.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's such a simple, simple thing to do. And, you know, going, even having your kids go out and go on a nature hunt, right? You know, give them a list of items that they have to find in the backyard, whether, you know, a stick and a rock and whatever, some kind of colored flowers, and just let them go out and maybe, you know, tell them they have to stand in the middle of the yard and like look in one direction and try to use their peripheral vision to see where they think they should head next for the next item, you know? It's just, it's endless when you could, you know, get out in nature and use your eyes to, you know, explore. The opportunities can be endless to do that with your child and for yourself. I mean, I love it. And the next thing I want to talk about is the other thing you spoke about being in nature and about the pace of everything. And I've loved this. I've talked about this before as well, right? You know, everything in nature has its own time, and it's nobody's rushing those flowers to bloom. Nobody's rushing, you know, those leaves to change colors in the fall. It happens when it happens, when it's ready. And I think it's so important for us to get out there and to pay attention to that. We are always rushing. Rushing. And we are rushing our children to develop right from the moment they're born. When are they going to sleep through the night? When are they going to crawl? Is yours walking yet? Is yours talking yet? Right? It's this constant push forward.
Exactly.
Instead of just let it unfold, let them develop. Of course, you know, development we have to be aware as parents, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if things look, you know, seem off, we have to pay attention to that. But I think we need to take a real hint from nature that mm-hmm. we need to just take a step back and things will unfold as they should. And what's your thought about, like, as a parent, mm-hmm. you know, the different mindset that can teach your child. And I think I personally think it can really correlate with confidence. Yes. and all of that. Right.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I definitely agree. And, you know, also one of the things I'm thinking about is, depending on the age of your child, some of it is as much what we are learning and taking in, and the child is learning from us too, especially if they're really, really young, you know, like they're looking to us all the time to see what's going on. What am I learning from this? And so if your children are young, they might not even, they're probably equally learning from you as from the outside world when you're out there. The older kids are probably more, you know, you might have to experiment with, how do I get my teenager or my tween to engage with the natural world with me? But yes, like you said, more confidence, more creativity. And it's really just a nice, solid way of reminding them that, as you said, like, the pace of nature is a different pace than maybe we use in other parts of our lives, and everything unfolds as it's supposed to. Like, that's what I go back to again and again, that in the world, things take as much time as they're going to take. And I know, mm-hmm. like when I was a teenager, for example, some of those years seem achingly long when you're waiting to get your license or to get out of school or whatever. And so for children any age, being outside and engaging with that environment really can be a comfort for everyone. And you might, so like the younger kids, scavenger hunts and I spy and things like that might be more engaging for them. For older children, I would maybe do something like have a nature journal or a notebook, mm-hmm. and you could do creative story writing. You could draw what's out there. You can paint. You can engage in different ways, because that can be an entry point to help you connect with the natural world. Because one of the other qualities that we can cultivate is this resilience that I think the natural world just does so well. And, you know, we've had a rocky year plus, and we're still not out of all the rockiness, but I think being out in the natural world and seeing the resilience of, okay, the trees drop their leaves, but then they come back.
Yes.
And, you know, there's certain plants in my yard, I can prune them and they bounce back. Mm-hmm. So, this resilience that we see out there is really incredible and can be another lovely quality that we are helping our children to recognize,
yeah.
as we're out in the natural world. And another thing that I'm thinking about is, like my kids and I, we give a lot of nicknames to things. Like, we talk to these, ladybugs and flowers and the moon as if it's like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun. And I feel like it's another creative, fun way to connect with the natural world and not see it as something that's separate from us.
Yes.
And like distant. It's a way of making that relationship kind of more communal and connected.
Yeah, engaging with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I also think it's really, I love the idea of the nature journal,
mm-hmm.
for a few reasons. First of all, I think that's wonderful for adults to do on their own. Just yes. go out and journal in nature and notice things and then see what that brings up for yourself, mm-hmm. you know, internally. So engage yourself in the process of nature. But when it comes to our children and being out there in nature, conversation starters, you know, just mm-hmm. for example, we have this tree in our front yard that's currently in the process of blooming the pink flowers. And so for the past, you know, week or so, we've been noticing and I draw my kids' attention to it. And we say, oh, look, the buds, you know, last week were coming. So it's sort of looking orange now. Right. And mm-hmm. we noticed, and then this morning, my 11-year-old, we were pulling out of the driveway to head towards school. And he said, oh, the pink flowers are coming. He said, Mom, it's about half and half now. It's half pink and half orange still, right? And he's noticing this, mm-hmm. this slow process of, you know, and he said, when do you think it'll be all pink? Like, how many more days do you think, you know? And so just engaging in a conversation around nature, mm-hmm. you know, with your kids is so important, and then relate it back to them. So when mm-hmm. things come up, maybe that they're struggling with, or they haven't, you know, quite developed yet. And maybe they feel frustrated, whether that might be something with school or something with a sport, you know, you can bring it back and say, remember when that tree was taking its time, and, mm-hmm. you know, we relate it to your kids and, you know, like I said, engage and connect them with that whole process, because we are part of nature.
Yes, right? Exactly. So. Yes. Yes. And I love how you said that engagement. And another thing that I think that you brought up, which I think is really cool, happens is even if we as the grownups might take the lead initially with, we're going to get outside more, or we're going to be observant more, we're going to talk about this more, eventually, and it might not even take that long, your kids are going to be the one, like you said, saying, hey, did you notice now the tree's half in bloom? And that's, for me, what I love. I feel like my kids now are at the point where they hear me talking about it enough that they're the ones pointing out to me, mm-hmm. oh, there's a spider in the bathroom, or, hey, Mom, check out this plant that's coming up. And they're bringing my attention to yes. it as much as I'm bringing their attention to it. And so it's really beautiful, because then they're helping me to be mindful yes. too of when oh, I'm not like taking 100%. A break and pausing.
Yes. I mean, I think naturally kids are mindful creatures. Yes, we just totally. Unfortunately, the way society is, we unfortunately sort of squash that a lot of times. Because mm-hmm. if you think about toddlers, how yes. many times have you been walking right down the street with a toddler mm-hmm. and they bend down and they're picking at the grass, or they're digging in the dirt, or they mm-hmm. notice a bug over here. And we're always like, come on, let's go, keep up the pace. You know, mm-hmm. we're trying to get to the park or wherever it is we're going. But they're naturally have a natural mindful and curious tendency, and we yes. have to really work, the adults in their lives really have to work hard at cultivating that and not squashing it.
I 100% yeah. agree. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's really, and again, so simple, right? Yes. We just have to remember, take a breath, slow down, and get that curiosity back and mm-hmm. notice, and then engage with it ourselves, engage our kids in it, and talk about it, and, you know, point it out to each other. And it's such a beautiful process that's right there for us, right?
Exactly.
It's right laid out in front of us. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back to for a minute, you talked a little bit about in the beginning, like, if you don't have a tree in your life, like, mm-hmm. you know, put a picture of one up. Are there any other tips you have as far as like our inside environment? You know, not everybody yes. can always get outside. Maybe the environment where they're living is not, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have the accessibility to be out in nature with trees and streams and such that everybody else. So do you have tips on how we can, help our indoor environment to yes. cultivate this a little bit? And also even for classrooms, right. you know, in those winter months when you can't get the kids outside, I think it's important to sort of still, you know, support this.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. And I love that you asked that too, because, well, kind of one of my other values is accessibility. And I always think about one of the reasons I love talk about nature with people is I'm not saying we all need Porsches to be happy because that's just not accessible. And who knows if it's even true, but I do believe anyone can have accessibility to it. Now we do need to have more trees and more parks, definitely in certain neighborhoods. So, you know, we're not there 100% with the outside world. But in terms of what we can do inside, there are some definite things that we can bring in. And actually on my website, I have a list that you can download of 7 things, and I'll cover as many of them as I can remember right now. But so if you can get a house plant, that's one way. And, you know, if you're on a budget, I would say go online to wherever you go to interact with other people. There are often people who their house plant got too big. They got to repot it and they've got one to give away, or, you know, or you could get some seeds and start some herbs inside like basil or cilantro for pretty affordable. So you can have your house plant that you look at because it's going to change over time. It's going to grow. Some of them will bloom. Another thing, which I think is a really cool way to interact with the natural world, is what's in your refrigerator or on your kitchen counter. So your fruits, your vegetables, if you drink tea, and even if you don't drink tea, maybe you could explore with yourself and your kids. We're going to try, you know, 4 different kinds of herbal tea and some that are made from loose leaves. And we notice, what do the leaves look like before we add the water? What does the water look like in the, as it's steeping? What does the tea taste like? Like you can, I think it's in Japan, they have a whole tea ceremony for, you know, cultivating presence and mindfulness. So you could replicate that pretty easily. And, you know, no, it's not a tree or a river, but you're still interacting with something that's of the natural world. And you also then are going to get the benefits from the tea that you're drinking. And, you know, you mentioned before, we are nature, and I believe that. And so some of it is just remembering, okay, how can I bring it back into my daily life in a way that, that doesn't mean that I have to have 40 houseplants in my house. Cause I know if I tried to do that, my husband would be like, this is ridiculous, even though I might love it. So yeah, you can do that, you know, and remembering like our human bodies are natural. So maybe it means you take more stretch breaks and you look at your hands and you look at your feet. And when you're hugging your kids or massaging their feet, you think about how they're a living creature. So I think even, and the other thing most of us can see some portion of the sky from where we are. So sometimes even on a day where I don't want to be outside, I'll set up a chair in front of a window and just look at the sky and just let myself kind of pretend like I'm on vacation, even if it's just for 2 minutes or 5 minutes when, as an adult, no one needs me and I'm taking a little bit of self-care. And, you know, sometimes I don't know that my toddler would do it, but I could see my 7-year-old coming and sitting with me and saying, let's just look at the sky for a few minutes and see if we notice a bird fly by, or are there any clouds?
Absolutely. And I'm looking out the window right now, looking at the birds in the tree outside my window as you're talking. I totally think a toddler can do that. I mean, as long as you're engaging it, look at the clouds. What kind of shapes do you see? And is the sun shining today? And, you know, there's just so much you can talk about with nature. And I think those are all really, really great tips. And another tip that I would also throw out there is let your kids use their imagination, right? Close their eyes and give them a little guided meditation, incorporating nature, sounds of nature, and what they might see if you're at the beach, and do you hear the waves crashing, and how does the sand feel, and all of that kind of thing. Just engaging their brain in thinking about nature, I imagine, has some of the similar benefits of actually being out in nature.
Yeah. Yes. I love that you brought that up. Yeah. Lately with my children, we've been spending some time exploring on Spotify and YouTube, the various nature sounds that we can listen to recordings. And some of them, you know, some of them we like more than others. And it's even funny to be exploring with my 7-year-old, what are the ocean sounds or the water sounds she likes better than the other ones?
Yes, I do that in my classes. We'll listen to sounds of rain and then, you know, we'll listen to sounds of a stream and sounds of an ocean and really sort of have them tune into their listening. And then I really talk about like which one feels better for you when you listen to that, and then talk about how they can utilize those sounds. If maybe they're feeling upset, they could play some sounds of rain or sounds of the ocean, or if they're having trouble falling asleep, it's a great tool for them to use to help them relax. And so, you know, that's a really great tip. And, I think also too, like reading books about nature with your kids and, noticing the illustrations in the book, even if the book isn't per se about nature, but most children's books have, you know, pictures of things in nature, whether the characters are outside or, you know, whatever it might be, point out those things in the book. Right. Yes. And bring their attention to like, oh, look at that pretty tree, or look at the clouds look stormy on this page. I wonder what's going to happen. And
yes. Oh, I love that you brought that up. And I want to highlight, I'm sure people who listen to you know that you talk about this, but when you were saying bringing, like noticing how you feel about the sounds and remembering that and utilizing that as maybe one of your tools that you use when you're in a moment when you can use some comfort. I feel like that's probably part of the way in which we cultivate this emotional intelligence and help our children to is as we're engaging, we're noticing how we feel about it. You know, and as an adult, sometimes what I feel is, oh, I got a lot of sadness in my life right now. I need to sit with that and feel it and notice it. Or maybe I'm feeling a lot of frenzy or overwhelm or whatever, you know, whatever feeling. Sometimes adults don't want to be mindful because if we stop, if we stop the busyness, there are things that we have been avoiding. But I know I find sitting in nature gives me a comforting place, almost like if I was sitting with a counselor or a coach or a really good friend. It's a comforting place where you can sit, you can be yourself if you want to cry, if you want to journal and then cry or scream or whatever, and then you feel better. And then that's a way that we're letting ourselves like move through our emotions and notice how we're feeling. And for the kids too, they might not, you know, have as much of a involved process as we do, but like you said, if they know, oh, I'm feeling sad, maybe I want to sit and look out the window or find that book that has the pictures of the waterfall or listen to the ocean so I can calm down. Like it's so lovely that then it gives them these things that they can tap into to work with their own feelings, inner emotions and everything that's happening for them.
Yeah, this is, I love that you just brought that up. And it as you're talking, it's just making me think of saying, summing this all up is really nature is an invitation for us to just be. Right.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
To just be. It's an invitation to welcome ourselves as we are, just like nature does with itself, right? And and to just sit in it and just be. Just be. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. That is the perfect way to sum it up.
Yeah. Do you have any stories? I always like to ask people who are on, like to tell us a story about a transformation of somebody that they worked with or for themselves, that, you know, you utilize these practices and, you know, the changes that you may have seen in someone else, or like I said, for yourself or your family.
Yes. Well, so what you shared about just being I want to share a story, and it's happened to me, and it's also happened to some of the people who've gone through my Nourish Your Soul with Nature program. But I'm a little bit struggling for how to put it in words, because it's a little bit hard for me to describe. How does it feel when you're just being and you're okay with how things are and you have this calm confidence compared to how you were before? Like, it's almost like, I mean, I can say these words, but sometimes I feel like I don't know how to fully convey for me, what I often feel is if I'm in a state of overwhelm, I then have relief and calm after taking my time out of nature. So I've been for a number of months going through some challenges with my 2-year-old with his sleep, and my daily time out in nature is one of the things that lets me be and that grounds me and that makes me every day when I step out there, I think, okay, I can do this. Mm. I can do another day. and one of the last people who went through my Nourish Your Soul with Nature program, she was getting ready to switch to a different job and was having a lot of emotions about it because she had been in her current position, I think it was maybe 8 years, and was leaving it to do something totally different. And coming into the course, she knew she wanted to make that transition, but she hadn't given her notice. And it was one of those places where it almost felt like there's a 50-50 chance she might just stay at her job because it's comfortable.
Right.
But then by the end of our 3 weeks in the program, she'd given her notice. She was feeling really confident and she just felt like, okay, however things are going to unfold, I can handle it. And so this resilience and peace that comes up, I think, is one of the most pertinent things that I notice. But like I said, sometimes I have a hard time finding how do I put in words.
No,
I think that it's going to be okay and that you got this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's perfect. That was a great example, you know, with your client with the job change, and a lot of people have trouble with change, and we can definitely find change in nature over time. And so, you know, I think that that's a perfect example to show it's really a great tool to help us through any struggles of life and changes and, you know, things that we choose to change and things that just happen, you know, along the way, and to, you know, to have that resilience, just like nature does, is that's a perfect way to put it. So you mentioned a few times that you have a course. So I'd love for you to just share about that and where listeners can find that and where they can connect with you, all the places.
Yes. So it's called Nourish Your Soul with Nature. And we could use the word course. Lately, I'm calling it an experience because I feel like when I think of course, it's more like you come in and you're going to learn A, B, C, D, and then you're done. And you're like, now I understand that. Whereas in this, it's 3 weeks where you get a daily invitation with prompts and questions and some guided meditations to step outside and spend your time in nature and notice what you notice. And a lot of it, different people get different things out of it. Some of the people who take it do it with their kids. And some just do it for themselves as, no, this is my time, not with my kids, so that I can come back and fill up my cup, you know, in my own time. Maybe I hinted at this before, but, you know, some of the people who do it, they don't even realize till they sit out there, wow, I got a lot of feelings that have been building that I didn't even notice because I'm moving and I didn't, I moved so much that I never stopped to see what am I not looking at or being present to in my life, in my, you know, in my heart and my soul. And also, I love I love taking nature walks, but one of the things that in my program people do is for the first week or so, I ask people to not go out there and garden or walk or whatever, but to actually just sit so that you can calm down to that pace of nature and really absorb the slower, more unfolding day by day elements that you're going to notice that when you're taking a walk, you might not notice. I mean, you might, but it's almost like if we're spending so much of our time being really busy, let's spend 10 minutes a day being really intentional and sitting in the space.
It sounds lovely. It sounds really like a great opportunity for people to slow down and really tune in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I didn't, you had asked me, but I didn't say. So on my website there, soulpioneer.com/, oh, I need to double check. Sorry. It's either / nourish or nature.
That's okay. I'll link your website in the show notes so everybody can click. And once they get to your website, I guess they'll be able to find that there. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then social media, are you on the social media? What are your handles?
Yes. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And sometimes I'm more active on them than others because I like to take time off too sometimes. I'm at Rachel Stravelli on most of them. My YouTube might actually be Soul Pioneer, but if you look for Rachel, no, I think that one's Rachel Stravelli too. So LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook.
All your names. So I'll link all those things in the show notes so everybody can find you easily. I cannot thank you enough for joining us and sharing all your knowledge and tips for us on getting out in nature and slowing down. It was really a fun conversation. I really enjoyed it.
It really was. And thank you for all that you're doing to help people cultivate mindfulness and presence and also connecting with our kids in this really nourishing and helpful way. I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. Let's stay connected.
Definitely.
Thanks again.
I loved that conversation with Rachel. Here are some takeaways. 1, being in nature or looking at nature can help us experience joy. 2, using our peripheral vision allows us to have a growth mindset. 3, as we spend more time in nature, it cultivates more empathy. 4, being in nature can help us to slow down and be in the moment. 5, in the natural world, things take as long as they need to develop. We should take a hint from nature. 6, we are part of nature and engaging with it can make us feel more connected. 7, bring nature inside if you can't get outside. 8, look out your window to connect with nature. 9, use guided meditations about nature or listen to nature sounds. And 10, as you engage in nature, notice how it makes you feel. It was so great having Rachel on, and I love all the tips that she shared with us. I'm excited to try to remember myself to get out there and engage with nature more and encourage my kids to do the same. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode and you love getting outside and connecting with nature. I'll be back next week on Monday with a Mindful Monday episode. In the meantime, remember, take a deep breath. Thank you for joining me on my mission to spread peace and joy by introducing children and families to the power of yoga and mindfulness. I could not achieve this goal without all of you listening and trying these tips with the kids in your life. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, please subscribe and leave me a review. If you would also suggest this podcast to parents and teachers, I would be so grateful. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Mindful Moments for Families and on Facebook at Kidding Around Yoga with Kelly. For more information on my offered programs, such as yoga classes for children and adults, workshops and professional development, and corporate chair yoga, visit my website at kiddingaroundyoga.com/Kelly. I'll see you all here on our next episode, but in the meantime, remember, take a deep breath.